Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us in this moment. Enlighten us by your holy fire. Enlighten us to see Christ and through Christ the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In his book, Pastoral Song, the English shepherd farmer James Rebanks tells of his neighbor Henry. In the midst of the sweeping modernization of British farming in the late 20th century, Henry was something of an oddball, a man who walked to the beat of his own drum, a portly individual with red face and tweed pants, a bit of baling twine poking out of his rumpled jacket pocket. Henry did what Henry did. When all of the rest of his neighbors began to plant intensive single crops, tearing out the hedgeways, spraying the fields with chemical fertilizers again and again and again, Henry continued to rotate his modest gains of crops between turnips and barley. Henry didn't spray chemical fertilizer. Henry dumped little buckets full of straw and cow manure from the cattle yard on his fields in the cold winters. Henry was always a little out of step. In fact, James Rebanks says that any time he and his father would drive by Henry's fields, his father would kind of smile and shake his head at the old timer. Backwards. Henry was something of a gentle joke, says James, in the Lake District in northern England. A gentle joke, because Henry just marched to the beat of his own drum. He didn't quite know how things ought to be done. To be honest, I think we all kind of dread being Henry. We all dread being that person that's just a little out of step with the rest of the world. We dread being the person that our neighbors drive by and just kind of shake their heads at. We dread being the person who's out of touch with the proper way of doing things. You see, our world preaches and proclaims a very specific way in which we ought to farm our lives, so to speak. Live our lives to the best of our ability. A good life, a full life, a fulfilled life. It promotes planting and harvesting a single crop, spraying chemical fertilizers on that single crop to get massive yields. A single crop. Abandon all else for planting this one thing and cultivating this one thing. Human desire. Our friends and our family, our neighbors, they tend to believe that the best way to farm life, the best way to live one's life, is to stake everything on what you want, on your desires. Spray the fields of your lives with more, chemical fertilizer, whatever. Build huge steel buildings for bigger tractors. Spend more money. Do whatever you need to do to get what you want. Be true to yourself. And this method of living is enticing. And it seems in our world to be producing massive yields of satisfaction and fulfilled lives. After all, we all have our desires, don't we? We all have the things we want. Maybe we want the house down the street with the beech tree in the yard. We want a husband. We want a wife. We want the new internet service with faster speeds. We want to win the political game. We want a little more control over everything that goes on around us. And we look at our neighbors and friends farming life in this way, prioritizing their wants, their desires, or as the King James Bible might call it, their lusts, what they want. And it seems to be working for them. They seem to be fulfilled, to be rejoicing in massive crop yields. We see all of their pictures on Facebook. Good lives. And we don't want to be out of step with all of that. We hear St. Peter in our epistle reading warning about fleshly lusts or fleshly desires which wage war against the soul. But not only do we like our desires, we don't want to be one of those people that everyone drives by and just kind of shakes their heads at the fields of our lives. Oh, Henry, that's not how you live life. Backwards. Now, a few years ago, Henry died. James Rebanks recounts again this odd duck's death and how one of the modern farmers nearby, one of Henry's neighbors, purchased one of Henry's fields. The modern farmer called in the soil analyst just to see how much lime he might need to add to the soil, how much chemical fertilizer he would have to spread on top of it to ensure that it could have the massive gains that were necessary for his modern farming. The soil analyst was absolutely stunned. "This is some of the best soil I've ever tested in my whole life. I've never seen anything quite like it. It's full of earthworms. It's rich, fertile soil. It's some of the best soil in the Lake District." It turned out that the portly, red-faced farmer in his tweeds with his little bit of baling twine poking out of his rumpled jacket pocket, the odd duck who marched to the beat of his own drum, was actually the best farmer in the Lake District. While all of his neighbors appeared to be doing so much better than him, massive crop yields, making far more money, he was the only one who was actually doing something that was sustainable. The rest of them had found that their soils were exhausted, almost destroyed, dead. This morning, St. Peter warns us against this sort of way of farming our lives, this wanting things and people, constantly prioritizing our desires. He calls us to be odd ducks, out of step with the rest of the world. Odd ducks who abandon fleshly desires which fight against the soul. Because you see, St. Peter knows something about this way of farming our lives. He knows that if we prioritize what we want, if we grow only this cash crop, intensive, unchecked, compulsive human desire, feeding everything into it, it will deform who we are. It will reduce us to simply what we want. Our lives will become unexhausted, unsustainable messes, infertile dirt, no earthworms, no living. We will become pitiful, unsatisfied, obsessed creatures and societies, dead dirt. I want that, and 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 I want that, until nothing can grow. "I beseech you," writes St. Peter, "as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." But it's hard. Not only do we like our desires, not only do we want to fulfill them, but we don't want to be out of sync with our neighbors. We don't want to be the odd duck. We don't want to be Henry, marching around in his tweeds. We want to be like everyone else. We're communal creatures, after all. Peer pressure's hard. We don't want to be strangers. But the good news is that there is a single man who is an odd duck. A single man who doesn't mind marching to the beat of his own drum. A single man who putters about his fields in his tweed pants, oblivious to the proper way of doing things. He rotates his life crops between turnips and barley. This man is a gentle joke in this world. He walks to the beat of his own drum. People drive by his life shaking their heads. That's not how you live. Backwards. And yet this stranger offers dignity to each person around him. Even those lost in their desires, even those wallowing in their cash crops. No one knows what to do with this strange man. On the one hand, he refuses to follow society's rules. On the other hand, he refuses to rabble-rouse. He loves his friends. He honors the government. All the way around, he lives independent of those unruly patterns of life that ruin so many lives. The cravings for money, for control, for sex, for serenity. And in the midst of the world's rampant chaos of want, I want, I want, I want, I want, this man's soul is still, complete, whole. One time he even died, and the soil analysts were stunned. His fields are the healthiest in the district, the healthiest we've ever seen. His life is full of earthworms, rich, fertile, living dirt, healthy. In fact, the fields of who he is are so fertile, so filled with life, that 3 days later he was alive and back to farming all over again. You see, sisters and brothers, Jesus is a bit of an odd duck. A stranger. And he includes you in his odd duck life. St. Peter writes in our epistle reading this morning, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Notice how St. Peter says it. I beseech you as strangers. You and I are already odd ducks. We are already strange folk in Jesus. Christ has united us to him. Christ has baptized us by his Spirit into his out-of-step way of doing things, of dying to self and living to God. We don't farm our lives like our neighbors, and we are not supposed to. It's okay that people shake their heads at us when they go by. Not the way you're supposed to live. It's okay that we are the gentle joke in Christ, because Jesus invites us to participate in his odd way of living, his Easter way of living. You see, it's no longer about us and our desires. Don't be true to yourself. Be true to Christ. Die to who you are. And live to God. Be a stranger in this world, an odd duck who lives in the joy of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.